This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. With the ever-increasing digitization efforts amid the pandemic, many companies are bulking up their marketing campaigns to build an online presence and secure their footing in the market. Open Minds wants to up the ante by giving customers an extra edge to their campaigns by creating holistic and a sustainable approach to help clients discover new opportunities, optimize performance, and meet business objectives. They were bootstrapped back in 2012, and the company has since generated millions in revenue within just a few years by structuring plans and strategies through an emphasis on the five main pillars: people, technology, operations, business, and data. Open Minds helps brands create a holistic and sustainable approach that would achieve their goals whilst differentiating themselves from the pack. On the phone with me right now is Jan Wong. He is the founder of Open Minds, and it's the first time we've actually spoken properly. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, Richard. Happy to be on Open for Business.
Well, finally, Jan. Normally, it's my colleagues who get the pleasure of speaking with you. Today, it's my turn.
Pleasure is mine.
Now, we speak regularly on BizLabites with you about one thing or another. We call you in as our expert for certain things on marketing and digitization and one thing or another. Now, can you just rewind for us a little bit and tell us how things were for Open Minds back in the beginning?
Wow, this has to go all the way back to 2012, in fact.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, so as you've kindly introduced, we started back in 2012 and we had very, very humble beginnings, really. We had no venture capital funds. We didn't come from rich families. We didn't come from a corporate background with huge fat savings as well. We started literally from nothing and used our very first check from our client to start the company.
Wow.
So that means there's not even some sort of a capital injection in that sense. It all came from our client. And we did not actually draw any from a salary for a year. Our first office space was just a small, tiny room in a shared shop lot based in SS15 Subang. And the conditions were so bad that I recall us really thinking if anyone would actually want to join our team. It's just me and my partner sitting down around the table and saying, will we ever get our first team member? It was that bad. Yeah, but things started to pick up over the years. And by year three, we were already expanding into different subsidiaries and countries, servicing brands that we have never thought possible when we first started out. And today, we are physically in three countries, still growing, have quite a number of subsidiaries looking to education and data analytics, and really trying to contribute a lot more to the industry. Likewise with BFM as well, through BizBytes and all the different programs that you have very kindly put us on.
So let's just go back to that moment when the two of you sat around in your little shop lot asking one another, are we doing the right thing? You know, when do you think, after you've gotten your first, not paycheck, but the money from your first client, what was the next step that you took? Because there must have been something from that client that kind of inspired you to move on. What was it that you thought, you know, we are doing the right thing?
I think what happened back then was quite exciting, because when we went for that pitch and when we delivered what we thought was a very good digital strategy back then, the client actually had the check prepared for us prior to us even presenting. So at the end of our pitch, he simply just opened up an envelope on the desk and said, this is for you. I knew you guys are the right people and we want it. And from there, we were very perplexed. You know, we actually asked the client, so what made you prepare this in advance? And this one phrase stood out. He said that, I realized that you guys are not a typical digital agency. And we like that. So that has stuck with us since that point until today.
Yeah. And over the years, how have you evolved? How have things changed? And specifically, how have things changed over the last 1.5, 2 years?
Well, the 9 years has been very exciting, but in fact, it has been a lot more interesting in the 1-2 years, like you meant, just mentioned. Yeah. Because I think this 2 years or so actually validated how we have built the company to be, and we are actually on the right track. Why I say that is because from an operational standpoint, we've always been ready to work from home since day one. I mean, right. We still have compulsory work from home policies since even when we were 4-5-man team until today. This means our entire workflow is already on the cloud. So when the pandemic hit, it was kind of like business as usual for us. Yeah. At the same time, from a business perspective, we have also been receiving a lot more interest about what we do. More inquiries are coming. We are speaking to more and more different companies, which is great. This also gave us a lot of opportunities to fast-track some of our initiatives, especially on the education side of things with Open Academy.
Mm-hmm. That's something I want to talk to you a little bit about later on as well. Over the years, then, what do you think have been some of your biggest takeaways?
Wow, biggest takeaways. So many, in fact. But I think out of all of this that we have went through, I think one of the main things I took is that it's important not to grow overly attached to how the business is being run. This includes the processes, the services we provide, and even the current area of expertise that requires to evolve through time. I mean, having said that, I recall one of our major peaks back then. We were so ingrained to our work, and it was a very amazing point of time. Everyone is kind of working like clockwork. The morale is on the high. The business was good. It felt like magic. But underneath all of that, we also realized that we were kind of going stagnant. We were repetitive in some of the things that we did, and that ended up costing us at some point of the business. Since then, we have been very sensitive to this and have always been on our toes in constantly upgrading and have designed processes to make sure this wouldn't happen again.
And is that, you think, something that you change knowing what you know now?
Definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. Because since that point of time, we have been very actively trying to put this as a measurable KPI or integrating it into our workflow and culture. This means that every team member will be reminded every now and then that, hey, you know, you should not just focus on what you are doing right now as a service, but how do we take it further as the industry progresses and client needs change as well.
Which is interesting because, you know, the marketing industry as a whole has changed significantly over a relatively short period of time. You know, do you think that clients' requests, and I say that in inverted commas, have changed, or do they still pretty much remain the same as they have been, you know, over the last couple of years?
I love this question because, to be very honest, it's pretty much the same. 9 years ago when we set out, the request was always to increase sales. Today, it's still the same. It's always, hey, Jen, tell us how can we increase our sales. 9 out of 10 is going to be the same request. However, the basis of the request, the market conditions, and the readiness and experience of the companies have changed. Although they use a very similar sentence in the request, but the underlying factors have changed. And that is important to us because this affects the details within the strategy and how we as a company can help them navigate forward in these changing marketing times.
Okay. On that note, Jen, let's take a very short break and we'll come back and we'll have a bit of a discussion about the importance, of course, of digitization in 2021 and moving forward, the pillars that you've picked. And of course, we want to talk to you a little bit about your educational efforts. Let's take a short break. You're tuned into Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Open for Business here on Enterprise. I'm speaking with a familiar friend for Enterprise, but a new friend, I'd like to say, for me. It's Jan Wong. He is the founder of Open Minds. They are, a MarTech consulting firm that provides businesses and brand owners with a wide range of solutions from digital transformation, online positioning, digital marketing to data analytics. It just goes on, Jen, doesn't it?
It kind of does, yes.
It kind of does. Now, just before the break, we were speaking about, you know, the changes within the marketing industry or not. And this last year and this last 2 years, the discussion for all of us, regardless of what industry you're in, is digitization, right? And we've known for years the importance of digitization.
Yep.
Now, how are you managing to convince people who are not as digitally savvy as perhaps they should be to become more digital? And have some of those people started to see the benefits of going digital themselves, or have you had to strong arm some of them?
Well, fortunately, we don't need to strong arm that many people of late, because I must say that if there's anything good about the pandemic, is that it fast-tracked the level of tech understanding and digital across most sectors, simply
yeah.
because as consumers ourselves, we were pushed to a corner to kind of embrace some of these things that although we are not used to it prior. And now, bear in mind that I'm not saying this just because we are in a business and it's good for us, but it's actually good for companies as well, because the number of consumers and digital interactions today have greatly increased. Last I checked, it's about 10 to 20% increase of digital interactions, which is quite a bit. We've never experienced that kind of a jump before, which means it's actually good for business. That's it. I wouldn't say that we would need to do less convincing or a lot of strong arming, but at very least, we don't really need to go in and educate from the basics again. Back then, we needed to go in and tell them that, look, your customers are online. We need to draw up a case study to say, look, this is your target audience. You are not there yet. Your competitors are there. There was a lot of conversations that need to be held. But today, we can immediately get down to business and address key business problems.
So now people are coming in and saying, look, my competitors are already there. How can you get me there now?
Yes, exactly. Which is something that we prefer talking about, because we can immediately get down to business and identify different opportunities for them.
Yeah. It's a kind of different conversation, isn't it?
It is. A lot exciting for us, a lot beneficial for the brands as well, rather than just going through a literal digital marketing 101 class with them.
Mm. So back in 2012, when you kind of sorted yourselves out and you bootstrapped them and whatever, you thought about these five main pillars. And this is something I want to go back to now. People, technology, operations, business, and data. Why did you choose those specific five main pillars?
That actually comes back to how we have always looked at marketing and technology, the roles that MarTech actually plays together. Because traditionally, even back then, one of the main gaps we saw within the industry is that the technology team and the marketing or business team rarely has this cohesive integration within their strategies, whether it's for business or for marketing outreach. And it's a problem because people don't see how technology is so integral to a business, and they tend to outsource 100% of their tech works, or alternatively having an internal team but sit at two opposite ends of the office.
Right.
From a business perspective, that does not make sense, simply because the consumers are actively engaging using technology. And here you are splitting the customer outreach versus the enabler in two separate ends of the office. That is why when you rightly mentioned the five pillars earlier, you will notice that there are these few elements, people and technology as well, following by the use of data within operations and business. And that formed our basis of our strategic framework for all the projects that we undertake.
Brilliant. Now, obviously, we're all going through tough times right now. Specifically, SMEs are really, really struggling. What would be your top tips, Jan, for these SMEs that are struggling right now? I mean, I know that sounds like a vague question, but you're a smart man. What would be your top tips?
Well, since we just spoke about the five pillars, I would really encourage businesses to start thinking about the five pillars for a bit. Think about whether are you meeting your business goals? Is there any part of it that you're unhappy about? Are you currently using data to make decisions or to use it to go further in your marketing efforts? what is taking so much time in your workflow and operations? Is there a routine process that repeats on a day-to-day basis that could be automated? Mm. Is your technology keeping up with your business to help you solve problems, meaning that it's more of an asset than a liability? Or lastly, are your people equipped with the right skills and insights to help you achieve what you have in mind? Now, honestly, these five things may seem like very basic questions, but through our experience, we realize that many companies tend to overlook some of these things. They immediately jump into tactical solutions. They want to ask questions like, how do I buy more ads? Do I use chatbot? Mm. Do I go on e-commerce? Those things are just the executional bit. Those are enablers, but it all stems out to these five main pillars within a digital strategy.
It raises a question for me, though. I mean, the two pillars you have, people and data, right? Mm-hmm. So one is essentially emotional, and one is the antithesis of being emotional, data. Is there a danger for some companies kind of not looking at the data and going with emotional decisions?
Oh, plenty. There are a lot of companies doing that, and I would say that you will actually turn up to have certain amount of short-term gains. But if you're looking towards building that is something more sustainable, something that you can identify patterns and behaviors with and be able to tap into that again and again, data becomes a very important factor. I say this because as an entrepreneur myself, as a business owner myself, sometimes we tend to go with the gut feeling, right? We speak to our teams, we speak to our partners and we say, yeah, I feel that this is where the company should go to, which, to be honest, it could go very well or it could go very bad. The problem of not having data is that even in the case where you go good or bad without data, you wouldn't know what went wrong or what went right. And that will give us a challenge in handing this success story over to a successor. It could be your managers, it could be your team, or even finding ways to replicate it or not replicate it in the future.
Okay, Jan, you're no stranger to, you know, the education industry. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there, you know, in terms of how open minds are involved with, you know, education.
Sure. So education has always been a very big part of Open Mind since day one. This is primarily because my partners and I, specifically Daryl, both of us have always have a heart towards sharing or demystifying what's going on in some of the materials out there. We looked at how some of these gurus are offering courses, webinars, and they are all very one-track minded. And we decided that, hey, this industry could benefit from real practitioners really trying to share from their experiences, their wins, their failures, and that would be very helpful. So from the very beginning, we've been speaking in different events, platforms like BFM, at universities, workshops. And what we found is that we, over the years, managed to gather quite a number of very good materials. And we thought to ourselves how good it is if we can put together certain programs based on all the materials and insights we have gathered to benefit business owners, entrepreneurs, founders, marketing professionals, or even students that are looking towards pursuing something within this industry. And that's exactly what we did by starting Open Academy.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting part is that during COVID, when we are all locked at home, we managed to also turn Open Academy into something digital, whereby we launch a Open Academy app available in both app stores that contain micro learning materials, meaning that you won't need to sit through a 30 minutes or 1 hour kind of a session just to pick up a new skill or business insight. Instead, it's formatted into kind of like Insta stories, you know, where you go in literally bite-sized, you can listen to it on the go, get something off the day and then move on. And currently we're doing it about 20,000 downloads to date, which is a very exciting project.
And you've just hit like the golden timing thing as well with the with people having attention spans a little bit shorter than maybe a while ago, right?
Exactly.
Okay, final question for you then, and before I let you go. There's a little thing in the press release that I got about, and it's in quotation marks, a rebranding process. What's all that about?
Well, I always like to talk about this topic simply because there's a lot of misconception when it comes to rebranding in the industry today. Some of them includes saying that rebranding is a process to recreate how the look and feel of the business is. You need to have a brand guide. You need to have pretty looking user interface for your website and app, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But that's really not the case. So when we put it in and we look at rebranding, we are actually looking at how you as a company is able to utilize what we've been talking about, marketing and technology, in integrating it into part of your customer's digital journey, meaning how you affirm their pain or gain, how you respond to your customer's expectation, how do you add real value, not a shock sendiri kind of a value, and how you can understand that transaction in digital today is not just monetary, but it's actually through the eyeballs and the engagement that you get to. So when we talk about rebranding, we are looking at how you can do an inward redesign of these things so that you can improve the overall customer experience to the target audience you're looking at.
Wonderful. Jian Wong, founder of Open Minds, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me here today.
Absolute pleasure. I've been on the phone with Jian Wong. He is the founder of Open Minds, a MarTech consulting firm that provides businesses and brand owners with a wide range of solutions from digital transformation, online positioning, digital marketing, to data analytics and technology development services. If you missed any part of this podcast, go back and have a quick listen. You can listen to it via our app, available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And if you can't do that, just head over to bfm.my, download and listen back at your leisure. On behalf of Jian Wong and myself, Rich Bradbury, this is Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.